As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. In heaven.
Welcome. This is 77 Minutes, the Dallas Mavericks podcast, part of the Athletic Podcast Network, the only Mavericks podcast that doesn't have any computers at all. I'm Tim Cato. I write and talk about the Mavericks. We've got Dave Dufour. We've got Austin Gurria. We are doing a mailbag question, a listener question. One question we got from Slingy24 was, do we have computers? And no, we just use our brains, man. We just vibe. You know, just like we're in the cloud.
Professor, you know? X. That's right.
Exactly.
We just exist.
Exactly. So the reason we're doing this is that 77 Minutes is going on a off-season hiatus until most likely the week of training camp. That's the expectation. It's possible that we will sprinkle in a pod or two in the meantime if something very big was going to happen, or
when Luka Doncic gets traded to the Knicks. We will, that news when it happens.
We'll break the news. Yes. That's true. We'll tell you about why it happened.
That's right. I mean, because he loves Jalen Brunson so much, you know. They've been tampering this whole time. They got Brunson to tamper with Luka, I think. That's what the investigation is going to find out.
He actually loves Tom Thibodeau. It's actually his guy. They just go way back.
I heard that the team lawyer for the Knicks accidentally sent all the text messages to Mark Cuban.
I feel like that's more likely to happen the other way in reverse. Or just both of them accidentally just...
Doesn't Cuban use cyber dust? Come on. You know, smart guy there, right?
I have firsthand knowledge he still uses dust. It's called dust now.
James Dolan is using a BlackBerry or some T9 or, I don't know, got one of those old Nokias.
So if you can't tell, this is going to be a pretty wheels off podcast. We're just going to have
it's
fun.
Summer.
It's summer, man. We're going on vacation. Often when I do things like this, I make sure to get subscribers involved. I just sent it out on Twitter today. I said, send me whatever the sickos of Twitter want us three to talk about. And we're going to do that. And Dave demanded.
I did not
start
demand.
With a specific question.
I didn't.
Oh, that was a demand.
Hang on. I actually said this was a question that obviously we know the answer to. But I just started to break it down anyway. And you said, wait, let's start there to set the tone. Don't throw me under the bus here.
That has been the entire existence of this pod.
But wait until I become a zombie to throw me under the bus.
All right. So Soulless Jazz, Scammer Sultan on Twitter. Who would survive the zombie apocalypse out of the three of you? It's Dave.
Hold on.
It's definitely
now,
Dave.
But not for the reasons that people would think. Being tough in a zombie apocalypse, stupid. It's dumb. I'm not a big risk taker. I take calculated risks, right? I used to fall safely for a living. Think about that. So I knew how to fall perfectly every single time so that I wouldn't get hurt. Calculated
risk.
This
is your wrestling days, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So with a zombie apocalypse, the trick is calculated risk. Now, the actual question here is, would you want to survive one? Because the other end is the Dark Ages. There's no gasoline. There's no electricity. You know, a lot of walking. I guess bicycles exist. You know, you have stuff like that.
See,
but
I think I could rally to the moment a little bit.
I think you'd be fine.
I think I would be, but I think I would stop making calculated risks once I've realized how unfun it was. I'm like, you know, like just to feel something, I'd be like, oh, let me take on 10 at a time. Let's just see how that goes.
The folks that dream about the idea of a zombie apocalypse, number one, they're not in good enough shape. I'll just say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
What's your mile time look like?
I mean, zombies are relentless.
That's right.
I don't have the conditioning. I definitely don't have the conditioning.
Can you climb? Can you climb? You know what I mean? Can you run, jump, and climb? How good of a driver are you? That matters for the first, 6 to 8 months that gasoline is still good.
Austin, can you drive stick?
I can't drive a stick.
Oh, I can drive everything.
Only, see,
I can drive every vehicle available.
I'm surviving because my apartment door is the strongest door I have ever seen.
What are you eating?
I'm stocking up on. I gotta make one run.
But there is no making a run once the apocalypse hits, and you don't know it's coming. It's not like an impending meteor that we get to watch for years out. Oh man, in 10 years we're done. It's not that.
All I gotta do is make one successful run.
It happens when they're testing, stuff on dead pigs to bring them back to life. Which,
I don't think the question here is whether any of the three of us could survive 1 month.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Long
to be
term,
clear,
all right. Yes,
this hypothetical question.
Yes,
like,
I would rebuild civilization. I think that everyone knows.
Yeah,
that. Yes.
I'm just saying. 6 months in, I'm gonna be like, my brain's gonna be missing so much dopamine that I'm just gonna go like start trolling the zombies out on, wherever I've decided to hole up, and eventually they're gonna pop me. Won't be the most fun, but I can't see myself like not going just absolutely bonkers just by the lifestyle change of, modern convenience and necessities and luxuries not being available to me. Like, genuinely, that is, like, I'm probably overstating my abilities to actually survive, especially once you factor in the other people around us. Like, sorry, I don't think Texas society is one that's going to be really kind to the other survivors and let's all get along. We don't get along in this country.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be an issue.
It would be
but,
a little weird.
But I'm just saying, like, something I would not survive the societal issues of what is being taken away from me at some point down the road. Like, that would get me.
You guys ever seen that movie? It's a Kevin Costner movie. It's called The Postman. Okay. It's a really good movie. It's a post-apocalypse sort of movie. Anyway, the bad guy in that movie is probably who I'd wind up being, only without the unnecessarily violent part. There would be plenty of violence because that's the only way to restore order in a primitive society, which we would be, but it wouldn't be as wanton as, this guy.
What I'm hearing is that Tim just doesn't have that dog in him.
I don't.
just doesn't have what, it.
What about anything I've ever done would make you think that? I got a cat in me, man.
But see, that
I got that cat
I'll
in me.
I'll tell you right
and
now,
that's
though.
Not good.
No, wait.
It's not good for a zombie.
Here's the thing. Tim has a lot of skills that would keep him alive because people would be like, hey, Tim's a useful guy to have around. It's more than just, I think,
right.
Especially for men,
I think
our initial
pro
thing
basketball,
is, how do I run
who's
this
gonna
thing?
Cover
that's
that
right.
league?
That's right. Well, zombie Luca putting up 30 a night. I somebody's got to talk about it. I mean, that's 100% where it would go, by the way. You guys have seen we would rein the zombies in and we would put them to work immediately. Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
That's exactly how this would
go. We're herding them up. It's cheap labor.
They're working at Domino's.
Yeah, but just wait till they unionize on us. What are we going to do then?
Don't let your zombies unionize. If you get take away anything from this podcast, do not let your zombies unionize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next question?
All right. We're gonna do you demanded we ask another non-Mavericks. It's gonna be a mix of everything, man. Like, if this pod isn't for you, I'm you're missing out. You should love us. We're fun. But we will talk a little Mavs. We'll do that with the next question. But first, would you all consider Domino's a restaurant? That's from Today in Mavs Facebook.
All right.
A Twitter account named now, Today in Mavs Facebook.
Austin and I immediately jumped all over this because I've got some strong feelings here. And you know,
we got to start with Austin, guy, though, because
but I want to hear
Austin's
take.
He's got bona fides.
He already has the actual experience here. So I want to hear it.
So for those who don't know, I have a Domino's background. My dad had a few Domino's. I grew up in a Domino's household. I was working in Domino's in 06.
son of a Domino's owner.
Son of a Domino's owner. And the question of whether or not Domino's is a restaurant, no. Domino's is not a restaurant, but it can be sometimes. On occasion, there are a few out there that
saying more stuff.
There are a few out there that are
not an answer yet.
But most Domino's are not a restaurant, but they can be.
They're pickup, takeout. But see, I'm old enough to remember when they would have the eat-in bar in the restaurant, right? And those are gone now. And so here's the thing. A restaurant, according to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, is a place where meals are served to the public. Now, serving a meal means you're going to eat it. There. That's the way I look at it. I'm putting this meal here and you're going to have it here. It's an eating house. That's one of the other definitions. Domino's. When was the last time anyone in the world ate inside of a Domino's?
Okay,
without
can I interrupt,
holding
y'all?
It over a paper plate or over their box or something.
Why
like
are
that.
We
it's not
approaching
a restaurant. It's a
this
pizza
question
kitchen.
So literally. I
because,
feel like,
well, that
I feel
was
like the question was being asked in a metaphorical sense.
No, he was asking
sense.
This. He needed to know. This is very, very, very a divisive topic in our country. And we need to know whether or not Domino's is a restaurant. And it's not.
And thankfully, not. The only
it
issue
is pizza,
country.
At least. Papa John's
it is pizza. Papa John's is not. Papa John's is a cheese
it
bread
ain't
substance.
No. Yeah, that's right. Domino's is real pizza, though.
You remember on Good Kid, Mad City, the Kendrick album, when it's the voicemail and his dad's in the background yelling, "Give me my damn Domino's." This is probably just a very white recollection, but for like 10 years of my life, I thought he was talking about like pizza. And he was talking about the game.
Your daddy's calling about some damn Domino's. He want to holler at you too. Go ahead, Kenny. Go.
Hey. Hello? Yeah, where my motherfucking Domino's at?
Kenny.
What?
I'm on his voicemail. Damn fool.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, put my motherfucking Domino's in.
There can be a lot of interpretations of that voicemail.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was supposed to be.
It could have been the greatest Domino's ad of all time.
It could have been. It could have been. Yeah, this entire time, I thought that they were trying to pick up from not a restaurant. But, you know, I understand now. Anyway, that just came to mind.
Should we do a basketball question now?
Do we have to?
Let's do two of the non-basketball for every basketball. It's summer. We're all hanging out.
Yeah, that's a good ratio. We'll play it by ear. So there's two questions that basically will serve as one, and it's basically just a current update on the Mavs. At Too Much Mavs asked, why is every media person saying the Mavericks have to make a move or is expecting a move to happen soon? And then Mavs Network says, that last roster spot, what do we think is going to happen there? And here, I'll say this. As media member, why is every media member saying that the Mavericks have to make a move? I think a month ago, I felt more confident that was going to happen before the season started. Or not a month ago, even a few weeks ago. For one, it just made sense logically. It still makes sense logically. But I think there was also an expectation or there was not a, we didn't realize in advance how much the Rudy Gobert trade would really mess up the trade market, to be frank, and just make every single seller have sky high I guess you can say unrealistic. I was going to say unrealistic, but
inflation
Minnesota
hit the NBA because of Rudy
Utah
Gobert.
Got that trade offer. Crazy, crazy. You know, like I used to be able to get a star from another team for $2.99. Now I gotta pay $5.99 first round picks. That's the cost. I don't know. That was.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but gas prices are starting to drop. I think that the trade market is also starting to cool off. I mean, it's been stuck in mud, right? So the Rudy Gobert trade, I do think that everyone is insane about it. It's a great trade for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think that that's a dirt cheap trade for Rudy Gobert, who is a walking top five defense. He solves 10 problems for them. And makes them instantly a top four team in the West to me. They have so much talent now with Rudy. So everyone's taking the wrong message from this. The message should be, throw all your bullshit picks at a superstar. Or, you know, Rudy's not a superstar, but he's a star player, definitely a star center. Throw all your picks at this. The market is what the market is for that player.
Let it be known that Dave
these picks aren't even going to be good.
Did not want to talk about basketball on this podcast
like,
at all.
Hot
is now analyzing a Minnesota Timberwolves trade.
Listen,
on a Dallas Mavericks Dave. Podcast. But
so
here's
Austin,
the reason.
Austin,
here's
what's
going to
happen
on
the last roster spot.
I want to address why everyone expects a trade, and it's because the Mavs went out and got Christian Wood. They signed JaVale. They still have Maxey, and Dwight Powell still on the roster. That's why, because you have four guys making money, and you really only need three. That's why.
Yeah, right. I mean the roster is just incomplete. I think that's why everyone. It's if you were making this roster on 2K, they'd be like, yeah, you don't have enough point guards to move forward. Do you want us to autofill and sign a point guard for like they need one more person who knows how to handle the basketball,
like Tyus Jones, right? If they could have gotten Tyus Jones, it would have been great.
They at this point they didn't even need like any kind of vet minimum point guard just to even just eat up minutes, because if Luka or Spencer got hurt for a game, they would have one point guard.
Can Jared Jack play?
They don't even have Trey Burke anymore.
Mike James.
No. Can't be Mike James. Mike James was saying Steph Curry's not very good, so can't have that.
I didn't even know who he was in media. Sorry.
Oh, no. He was just on podcasts, yeah.
Oh, okay,
new media.
Okay. So what I'll say is that I think my understanding is the Mavericks want to make a trade. It is only logical to think that they will at some point. I probably assumed to an extent, but also had a belief in you know, through people I was talking to, that trade would be made before the season. I think it's possible it comes at some point after that, but I still think it's fairly likely that something happens prior to the start of the season. It's just, again, it just seems like the inevitable outcome to all this. The logical one. So, how's that?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, now, silly question.
Do y'all want to ask one, or should I pop one in?
No, you're in charge.
All right. Let's just go with the next one on the list of other questions, as I titled them, because I didn't really have a better term for that. I thought about saying dumb questions, but I love a dumb question. Reddit Mavericks asked, do you believe in a thing called love? And I put this on the list because I've been watching a lot of Nathan Fielder lately. And not just his new show, which there's been Twitter discourse about. The rehearsal on HBO.
There has been
some Twitter discourse. At least I've seen some. So
sorry, guys. I've been in Montana preparing for the zombie apocalypse. So.
But and I know Austin, you've watched this a little bit. But I went back also and watched the series finale of Nathan for You, and I think the genius of Nathan Fielder is like he has this way of making you feel emotions that you can't quite explain. It's like it's more about the human condition, and like because he's filming this docuseries, it's and you know he's playing a character, and there, you know that you know he's getting these very like intimate moments that are also being caught by a television crew because they're recorded on your TV. And it's like, where does lines and like the blurring of human emotion and feeling start and end? And so I don't know. This is not good podcasting or interesting at all. But I saw that and I'm like, I need to discuss this summer, and I'm choosing my podcast.
Tim, how did that answer that question?
Hang on. It doesn't at all. But I do.
Well, OK, I have an answer.
Hold on. I want to ask you guys. You've seen the Ricky Gervais Office, right? It's genius. Like
I've seen a couple episodes. I'm not familiar with it, though. Yeah.
I highly recommend watching. I mean, it's really good. However you feel about Ricky Gervais now, he was onto something there, right? The idea was that show was about how soul crushing it is to work in for a corporation and in an office setting in particular. Your forced interactions and all. Nathan for You is the real life version of that. I haven't watched the rehearsal yet, but that awkwardness, the secondhand embarrassment stuff that you feel, Ricky Gervais did that on The Office. So like when I like Nathan Fielder a lot for that reason. Like he's really good at tapping into that secondhand embarrassment where you feel bad for everybody involved and he just reacts so perfectly awkwardly that it makes you like it's funny, but it also makes you feel empathy, which is such a unique feeling in comedy. We're usually, you know, we're laughing at stuff, but there we're laughing at it, but we're also like, oh, but also that sucks. So I get why, like you said, that you don't quite understand how to feel about it. But as far as believing in, I mean, come on. We cover basketball for a living. Like, why do you do that? It's not because we make the most money. Now I'm getting very, like, I'm going to get serious about love and basketball. But the truth is, like, it's not because you make the most money. It's because you love stuff, right? Like, there's a passion behind it. So, you know, I refuse to live my life without thinking that it's a real thing. It's real enough for me. Austin, would you like to follow up?
Well, I think that's it. I think it's different for every person. That the commonality of what love is defined and described is shown in, you know, like we're hammered by mass media. I think this broadly goes for a lot of human emotions, is that we all kind of like play act our way through life to an extent where we see us, like we're told in so many ways, this is what this looks and feels like. And I think what that show was really doing well is like letting kind of showing like to what extent is anything real except what's real to you, if that makes sense.
I mean, I only got really one answer for this, and that's that I never believed in love until I met Reddit Mavs in person, and now I believe in it forever.
All right, let's do a basketball question.
Yeah, that was very esoteric.
Here's a really fun one.
What?
I'm looking at this bad guys making podcast question. I'm trying to figure out who it's about, but we'll get to that.
All right, Jonathan Scott asked, am I crazy for wanting to expedite the reset button on salaries by wanting Westbrook in a first-round pick for Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and Bertans? So this floated around some of those Mavs accounts, I think it originated as, you know, just that link, you know, Bleacher Report is always publishing trades. I don't really like to delve in those worlds a lot, but this one's fascinating. The instant reaction is like, no, the Mavs don't want Westbrook. I thought when I first saw it a few days back, I thought it was inspired by, you know, the type of people who thought Westbrook was still better than the player he actually is. And as I've thought about this more and come to an understanding, this is basically the Mavericks saying, we'll take on this massive 1 year salary and we'll clear it.
Yes.
Because we have salaries that extend past that. They're all semi-useful players. They'll help a team like the Lakers, you know, addition by subtraction, maybe even. But then the Mavericks all of a sudden just have a very different landscape going into the summer of 2023 and the summer of 2024.
Of all the years to take a step back, to take a step forward, this is the one. I don't know if you guys know this, but Kawhi Leonard's coming back. John Wall is healthy, looking good. Clippers are going to be way better. Also, Minnesota got Rudy Gobert. I don't know if you guys know about that trade. The Warriors are coming back. I think the Lakers are going to be better just because I think Anthony Davis and LeBron should play more games. It's going to be a tough year in the West. Jokic got help. It's not a bad trade. And also, I can make an argument, not even a step back. I think Russell Westbrook maybe would play okay off the ball with Luka. I don't know, but he's also not an awful culture guy. The issues with Westbrook are all on the court. And if it was a real problem, it's 1 year left, you pay him to stay home. It's not a big deal.
I'm not sure I agree with everything you just said, but this isn't about Westbrook. And so let's like,
right.
The
question about Westbrook. Is
right. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm saying for the moving pieces, I think it's totally fine. But
also,
for the salary,
first round pick,
and having that expiring salary for next summer, when there's actually going to be maybe some free agents, I think it's a really good deal.
Austin, would you trust the Mavericks to actually use cap space to improve the team, though? I think that's where I'm coming down on it, and that's where I'm struggling.
The first round pick is very valuable, and yes, that gives, they haven't had a surplus of first rounders, and I can't even remember the last time they had more first rounders than having fewer than the ones they've given away. But that would allow them to actually make other moves and also would clear up their cap space. They could, even if they don't sign a star, go sign another quality player. Go sign someone else that can fill that role, because they do need another high quality starter. And you kind of hit a reset button. You lose. I mean, I think Hardaway is a good player, and Bertans, it can be useful, but you're not taking a huge step back. And Westbrook he is still a average NBA player. Also, you're not relying on him. You don't need him.
You
got to
separate the money from the player. It was, remember Chris Paul a couple years ago? I mean, now Chris Paul is a better player than Russ is right now, for sure. But a couple years ago, second he signed that contract, Austin, they were saying, oh, no, he's not good enough for this. And he's washed. It's like, no, he just signed a new contract that makes more money.
Yeah. And I think Westbrook's biggest problem is not just his on-court play, it's who he thinks he currently is. If you get him to buy into a new role, then I actually think he'd be a fine player, but I don't think he wants to.
That's the problem.
The problem is he still thinks he is MVP Russell Westbrook, and he should be playing 35 minutes a game and taking however many shots and starting and have everything his way. He can't really just fit in and buy into another system. If he could do that, I honestly think that's a good trade.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can.
Yeah. I could say how if the Mavericks could have had Jalen Brunson back at $26 million a year annually, and they were to make a move like that easily cleared salary space, and all of a sudden that $26 million doesn't look so bad, I could get into a whole thing about that.
Oh, but, yeah.
I will not. We're going to move on. Let's see. Okay, Grayson MFFL, at Grayson MFFL. That's a tricky one to say out loud. I don't say that out loud a lot. Say mm-hmm. it. I write it.
MFFL.
Yeah. It's just a double F. Like, your mouth isn't, it's not set up to say FF twice in a row. Just not a hateful person. he says, favorite 2000s band, movie, and NBA player, no Mavs and no Nash.
I mean, 2000s, like, meaning, like, 2000 to 2010 or whatever.
That decade. Okay. I thought it was that decade by the no Nash inclusion.
I mean, for me, it'd be Manu Ginobili, because he's probably my favorite player ever. Band, I don't know, man. Like, I kind of checked out on music during that decade. It was really bad. Not a lot of good stuff happening in the 2000s. Sorry, I know that's your formative years. Funny, yeah, the Strokes jumped to mind for me too. And
yeah,
my point.
But
still
I really like the last Strokes album.
I like the, you know what, the Darkness.
I go back
came
the
out in the
ones,
2000s.
But,
I'm into like I like that. Shout out to Reddit Mavs.
You know, I'm going to cheat and say Outkast, calling them a band. More than one person.
Outkast is a band.
It is a band. Are
They're
they
a band?
I don't know.
I'm cheating saying Outkast player. I'm going to go Trace McGrady. I had all the T-Mac shoes. Trace McGrady was
now.
That's one of those you needed to be there to see him.
I agree with that, man.
He was like top three, like close to like being best player in the league good.
Yeah.
A couple years.
Yeah, it was crazy. If he was playing now, I mean, we would, you know,
he'd be a top five player now.
Trying to build super teams around him.
Oh yeah.
Far as movie goes, it's my favorite movie of all time. Hot Fuzz. The greatest movie ever made. No one's ever.
I never would have guessed that, but now that you said it, it feels like just painfully on brand.
Yeah,
it's
very on the nose.
It's absolutely a perfect film. Highly recommend Hot Fuzz. I mean, the entire, well, all right. World's End's not that great, but the Cornetto trilogy is pretty good.
Logan Thompson asked, for the sake of lineup construction, do you see Luka as a pure point guard or a point forward in the way that we didn't call LeBron a point guard throughout his career? This is kind of in the vein of what we're doing. This is more theoretical. Pure point guard to me, but like, why is there that hesitation? Because I guess I've never truly thought of LeBron as a point guard, even though I would be like, yeah, he's the driver of the offense.
Offensive initiator, right?
Here's what it is, maybe. Like, I've seen a push recently. Like, over the past few years, a lot of the analytics accounts have started identifying players not by position.
Yes.
And I think this is smart, but by what they do.
Right.
Primary ball handler, secondary ball handler, stationary shooter, cutting big men. And is that where this hesitation come from? Is there something
maybe
that differentiates the top option and a point guard?
Yeah.
I think this comes from just from the pure fact that LeBron came into the league when we had very, very strict position guidelines. It was small forward LeBron James every single year.
I'm going to push back.
He also had a point guard every single year, and he would talk about his point guard, and people recognized that was the point guard of the team, and LeBron not plays off of him.
That guy didn't play point guard. That's the thing,
he
right?
He didn't.
That,
I agree he didn't play
LeBron
point guard.
LeBron was the point.
The view was there's a point guard, and then there's LeBron, and he's just doing his own LeBron thing. But there was no big initiator. That was not like a term people used
right.
in the 2000s. So I think if LeBron entered the league in 2023 and not 2003, he would just be considered just a huge point guard. And they would be like, yeah, he's a point
Magic
guard.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he'd be Magic Johnson.
No one argues whether Magic Johnson was a point guard or not.
Yeah.
Right? At all.
So the other thing with LeBron is he wouldn't bring the ball up the court a lot. And I think just that subtle distinction, because we've been told, or like even in youth basketball, the point guard brings the ball up the court, and so it's almost drilled into you within the context of the sport of basketball,
right?
That if you're bringing the ball up, you're the point guard, and
so
that
Draymond's
subtle
a point
distinction
guard.
Of I don't know Chris Duhon or the point guards, you know, Mo Williams certainly, those players who were not LeBron bringing it up, even though LeBron was Chris Duhon, man,
Chris Duhon can ball,
even though,
man.
yeah, he could ball. He was out good. There, man.
Chris Duhon with Mike D'Antoni was magic.
Did Starbury play for those Cavs teams for a season?
I think he did.
Maybe not. Okay. Anyway, I think that's part of it. And
maybe
undeniably, if you were to list, you know, the descriptive roles that I was kind of just naming, that's what LeBron was: primary ball handler or primary shot creator.
Luka's a point guard by any conventional definition. I think splitting hairs about it doesn't make much sense. The one pushback that you might get is when people say pure point guard, they mean guy who doesn't score usually, guy who doesn't look for his own buckets. That doesn't exist anymore. Like, we have to change the definition of pure point guard. And I'm not going into the whole, like, initiator, wing, big. I'm just saying what a point guard is. Like, a pure point guard now is a guy who creates separation, can score, and also playmake. That's a pure point guard. So Steph Curry is a pure point guard in the modern NBA. The way that it works now, Luka is one. LeBron
is help
one.
Defense, right? Like, because if you're not a threat to score, the players that you are playmaking for won't be open. Because
the league is different.
Yeah.
It's just, it is just a different league. I mean, I don't want to hammer Bob Cousy, but Bob Cousy in the modern game where it's like, I'm only looking to pass. We've seen Rajon Rondo, who just went pass first point guard. That's what most people identify as pure point. Well, that's not a useful player as a starting caliber player in the NBA. You cannot do that anymore. So the definition just needs to change for, you know, what casual fans think is a pure point guard. So when you say, is he a pure point guard? I mean, he's not shorter than 6'4", so he's not a traditional point guard, but he's a pure point guard in that the role that he plays is what we would all call the point. He's bringing the ball up. He is the point of attack on offense. He starts the offense 90% of the time.
And then
he can score.
I'm going to take this question to the next level. Why doesn't anybody call Allen Iverson a point guard?
Because he played with Eric Snow. I mean, that's it, right? Like, he was a point guard. Allen Iverson was a point guard. I mean, I think that there's probably some stuff there where, you know, he didn't want to be the point guard on the roster sheet. Remember, Michael Jordan was a shooting guard, guys. And I know, like, I'm older than y'all, but being a shooting guard mattered to us. It mattered to us.
You know what the common link here is? Eric Snow. Eric Snow negated Allen Iverson and LeBron James. I brought that full circle.
100%. Man, I'm going deep on these bats. I can't believe we're getting so deep on the basketball.
We talked about Chris Duhon and Eric Snow. So if anyone says this podcast wasn't about basketball, it absolutely was.
It was broad-ranging podcast that goes
and
from
zombie
Eric
Luka
Snow.
Doncic.
That's true.
Yeah. Coops. At Luka DeGoat is his handle. Dream place to vacation to.
I don't know, man. It's hard.
Yeah, I feel like
a vacation is like, I guess it varies, right? Are we talking I'm going on an adventure or I'm going someplace to chill out? Because those are two different things. You know, I'm not a guy who cares about seeing stuff. So I've been to the Louvre, but I don't care about it. I didn't see the Mona Lisa in the Louvre. That's not the shit I care about. So, like, I go to Paris. I've got a couple of places that I like to hang out. There's some cool little wine bars that I like. I walk a lot. But that to me is a vacation. Now, if I'm going I'm going to go on a 20-day hike, that's an adventure. So it's a different thing. So I think for a vacation, man, you know what? Never been to Tahiti. Seems nice, though.
Yeah, I know we're weirdos answering this in the weirdest way possible. I don't know if I ever want to have a dream vacation. I don't want to have some place that I like going to more than the rest. No, a dream vacation.
No, a place that you really want to go to. I think
if
it's
I like somewhere so much that it's the main place I want to visit, well, I want to live there is what I'm trying to say. If I have that much enjoy, if a place or a location. Yeah.
Wait, there are places that are better to visit than to live.
Vegas.
Well,
I hate that.
Who wants to go there?
It didn't help that I had COVID for 6 days in the Mandalay Bay Hotel.
but I think there's a difference between just like, again, a vacation to, I mean, I love Edinburgh. I love Copenhagen. That's not a vacation because I just go there and kind of blend in. So I think going and doing something is more what, or not doing something. So Tahiti is one of those places where I don't think I'd want to live there, but I bet I would love to hang out there for like 10 days.
I really do want to go back to Ljubljana. So there's a,
I love it. I love that place. I could live there though.
I'm going to go straight Lake Como in Italy. I'm just having a great time. I'm renting out a villa, having a great
time.
You
just finished a big heist. You're hanging out with your buddies.
Just hanging
11
out.
11 of them.
We had 11 of them. We're having the best time of our lives. We robbed that casino. They didn't see it coming. It's a great time. That's how you relax. That's how you get away, and that's how you treat yourself. But could I live in paradise every single day? I don't know. That might get tough.
Como's interesting, man. I like Como a lot. I'm a big fan of that area. If you really close to Switzerland, so you can pop up and get some real.
I'm just trying to drink wine at 1 o'clock with some old Italian uncles and just have a great time.
Either one o'clock,
a.m. or p.m.
Actually, one to one. That's your shift.
Yeah, it's all natural over there.
Good question. I love that people are asking us fun questions.
Elon Murdoch. I'm not going to try to pronounce that Twitter handle. Will you do one episode that is 77 minutes long?
Yeah, Tim.
Maybe that should be our season preview episode. We should do a what for us would be a marathon.
Let's do 77 episodes that are 77 minutes long. Let's not do that. Nah.
It's only one
basketball team. We started by trying to do, I remember way back in the day, we were trying to do like 20 minute episodes, and we just naturally, so we'll have some episodes that like 23.
This one's long.
All right. Yeah. This one's extending out a little bit. I love the 34, 35 minute range.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's so good. Like, but that's what I enjoy listening to too, as well.
What if you could double that? What if you could double that 34, 35?
No. No. Yeah, can I be honest? They don't pay us more if we go longer.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, maybe not in your contract, but like in mine.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Austin, sorry. This is going to be a two-parter.
Austin, you just said you didn't want to live every day in paradise. And paradise is a form of heaven. And now you're talking about doubling the perfect amount of heaven, which is 34 minutes?
Nope.
33 and a half?
All right. Should we close out with Arby's or carrot cake?
We could do both.
Which one do you have a stronger take on, Austin?
Well, Doyle asked about Doyle Raider, the Kobe beef, asked about carrot cake.
I mean,
and Birdie, surely not a real name, asked a question that said, my question is, how do you feel about Arby's?
I'm feeling Arby's.
It ends with a question mark, so I knew that it was a question. And so, I don't know.
Okay.
I edited it down a little bit.
I have an Arby's take. I like that Arby's has Euros. I like that Arby's has...
They have Euros?
Yes, they try to make a fried chicken sandwich that's good. They have more than just roast beef. They also had curly fries before everybody else did.
They did. They were first on curly fries.
Right? And they did the onion bun for the roast beef. Look, people are scared of new stuff. And Arby's is constantly pushing the envelope. Let's not just hate on Arby's for the sake of... I understand that everybody spends too much time on Twitter and Arby's gets hammered. Arby's, not that bad. But, you know, I mean, I'm not eating Arby's, let's be honest.
I think I was a teenager the last time I went to an Arby's.
They also used to have beautiful glass buildings for their fast food. I was just like, why is this... Did you guys get like a great architect for this? Like... They are pushing the envelope.
They were trying to make a restaurant.
Yeah.
Not just a place where you
Arby's
eat
a restaurant.
Yes.
Also, Arby's makes me feel kind of like Nathan Fielder, where like we're just on a rock moving through space. Might as well just do
faster
and
faster by the day.
Yeah. Faster by the day, push the envelope, eat Arby's.
Those are great answers. I'm really happy that y'all just knocked that out of the park. I will say, I don't think Birdie was asking that with the most serious intentions. I have some inside info there. But there we go.
Okay,
I have one question I want to read.
Carrot cake is good.
I have no,
keep the nuts out of it, though.
Yeah,
no
carrot
nuts.
Cake good.
I have no opinions.
No nuts, no grapes, no raisins, none of that stuff. Just carrot cake, very good.
I have one more question I'm just going to read. I think I'd get in trouble if I answer it. But Tim Beam, I have to acknowledge, Ultralight Beam. On Twitter, that's his handle. why are there still so many bad guys making podcasts? Do you think we just need more good guys with podcasts to stop the bad guys making podcasts?
Who are the bad guys making podcasts?
There are actually
like,
a lot of bad guys out there making podcasts.
Okay, but I mean, there are a lot of bad faith actors in life.
We made an Alex Jones joke earlier today.
That's true. So. That's true.
Doesn't Steve Bannon have a podcast?
You know, the problem is they all make them from home. If you want, I mean, that's the issue, right? Like, you can do whatever, you can sling whatever the hell you want from the comfort of your home. But what happens when you have to step outside and see people? See, this is like, if you want me to be serious, the internet caused like a disconnect. And so maybe that's why we have so many bad guys who are able to just be sneaky and sneak into your mind a little bit with their podcast. So yeah, we do need more good guys with podcasts to stop the bad guys with podcasts.
And we got to stop. We got to close the podcast loops. We got to make sure that the bad guys cannot access podcasts.
Yeah, we need background checks on podcasts. It should just be ubiquitous at this point.
Yeah. You should have to fill a very long form.
Sorry, have you ever worked a job before? Okay, cool. You can have a podcast. Oh, you never worked? Oh, sorry. You don't have anything interesting to say, bro.
If we just did a mental health check before you get a podcast, we'd have so many better podcasts and so fewer bad ones.
I mean, we don't have a podcast problem. We have a mental health problem.
Those are really nice answers. They were wrong. We need to ban every podcast. Burn them down. Man. And that's why I'm eagerly, eagerly awaiting the zombie apocalypse, because you know what? There's no podcasts. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. When we come back, in late September, as planned, we're going to be moving to a twice-a-week schedule and have two podcasts every week. If you add them together, they might equal up 77 minutes. So that's kind of what we're looking for. So we'll
77 minutes a week with Tim Cato.
77 minutes a week. Absolutely. So we'll have more information about everything we have planned and things like that when we get there. If we really need to, we'll pop back on the feed in the meantime. But thanks, everyone, so much. You listen all season, a very long season, a season that's ending in August on August 4th. Really appreciate everybody who followed, who downloaded, who did all of those good things. Thank you, Austin, Dave, Mike Pellucci, who wasn't here today, my usual gang co-host.
Kent Garrison,
producer. Our wonderful producer. So
I feel
many
like Pat
guests.
Summerall right now at the all of end these of people. The NFC Championship game when they didn't have the Super Bowl and they have to thank all the guys that work on the show.
You see, that's the thing. Once they put you in front of a microphone, I had no idea I was going to say any of the stuff I just said, but I had a microphone in front of me and I was like, oh, wait, do I have to say thank you to people? So actually, I hate all y'all. Bye.
He plays Fortnite just like me. I am 34.
Don't fight the future, honey. Don't fight the future. The future is Luka, Big Dick Doncic from the home of Melania Trump. How many kids you have? Don't fight the future. It tears me apart. Don't fight the future. Please be nice to Luka. Future four-time MVP.
Oh, my God. Oh! Shut it down. Oh, let's go home. It's a wrap, dude.
That is a wrap.